Now you're recording.
Okay, so what happened with the sin of Adam? Adam ate from the tree. And the one of the key things that happened with the tree, it was a tree of good and bad. And what the commentators say is, when he ate from it, it mixed everything up. Before then, there was bad. There was a snake in the garden. There was bad. It's not that bad didn't exist, but bad was external. You could see it. You could see it coming. Here it is. It's bad. But once he ate it, he took it inside him, and it all got mixed up. He knew in the same mashal that Chava was impregnated by the snake and took the tumor inside her. It's the same mashal of taking, consuming something coming and getting mixed up. Tree of good and bad mixed up. Our job in this world, part of it, a large part of it, maybe all of it, depending on your perspective, is to separate good and bad. Right? Torah says, I put before you the good and the bad, choose good. Right? Everything in our life is a mixture of good and bad, and we need to separate what's good from what's bad. That's our job. Right? You can learn a lot from the halacha of Birur as to the aspects of what it contains, separating good from bad. You take the good out of the bad, not the bad out of the good, and the chule v'chule. It's all connected. But that was a sin. It mixed everything up. So what was Adam doing? Adam was rectifying the sin. To the extent he could, it was going to take another 6,000 plus years to finish the job. But he was doing his part. His part to rectify that was to take out the bad. Take out the bad that was now mixed inside him. 130 years, date belt, causing the bad to come out. Still there, but it's now external. It's now external. We're now starting to get the problem out. It was internal. I'd taken it off. And now we're starting to get it. We're starting to do that B-roll process. Right? The Erev Rav come from that aspect of the B-roll process. The Gemara...
There's another... Like what we had to come out of the time, so that's a B-roll process. Coming out itself...
That all comes from that. Connect it a thousand ways. Nakudatova. What's Nakudatova? It means find the good point. Even in Rasha Marusha, not even Dafka in Rasha Marusha, is to take the good out of the bad. To find the good thing and take it out of the bad. Like the bad, we don't want. The bad gets. As soon as you take the good out, you can get rid of the bad. Kick away the klipa. Mitzrayim was destroyed once you take it. But to find the good in it. To take that good out. Right? And the good only has meaning as well when it's. Otherwise, Gan Eden by itself is meaningless. It only has meaning relative to light, Rabbi Jordan. Use this analogy. Light has only meaning if you have darkness to differentiate it. If you've just got complete bright light and no differentiation, no definition, it's meaningless. You can't do anything with it. It's blinding. Once you've got definition, you've got the choice of bad. Now I know what good is. In reference to that's bad. If everything is just like there's no differentiation. So you need, to an extent, you need it. You need it for this world. You need to have good and bad in order to be good. Nachon, yafeh, exactly. Nachon. And Kilu, that came out first. That came out first. Right, and we saw with Adam here, that came out first. Or it depends when you say they were also brought maybe before, but it has certainly in there.
How did it come out?
He emitted seed. Adam HaRishon emitted, he was absent from after the sin. Adam HaRishon was away from his wife for 130 years. And during that time, he wore a belt of date branches on his skin. And that caused him to emit seed. And that seed was the Erev Rav. And he was doing it as a tikkun, not chas v'shalom for anything bad. We learned in our own Masechet that we just finished, the next piece of the picture. So this is the third piece of the puzzle. Comes in Masechet Chagiga.
Wait, sir, what about the Erev Rav? When the Tosot came out, there's a wider known thing that during those 130 years, Elit appeared to him frequently to draw out of him the seed, cause him to waste seed. She was his first wife who would misbehave, wouldn't do right, and Hashem threw her away, and she went and married the son of men.
Okay.
And then she came back to get the seeds out of
So what Rabbi Yaakov is saying is that there's a midrash where he talks about the fact that Adam was originally married Ke'ilu to what we later know as we don't say the name because her name is Tuma, and Elit is the name, and Adam saw that she was not appropriate, so he legareshed her, divorced her, threw her out, and she went and married the Samach men and instead, and she now comes back to taunt person. The Chazal say that a person who has emissions in the night, because they had a visitation from this same persona, Queen of the Demons. Tov. And her, she also, she did the same thing to Adam.
On Tuesday night, it's a tradition not to walk outside in the streets alone on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night and Friday night, we learned that in the Gemara Tainit, remember? That why don't people go out on Tuesday night?
Let it rain on Tuesday night.
Yeah. Yeah. That was intended. Okay, so what do we learn in Hagiga? So we learn in Hagiga, you remember, that that Hashem, before the creation of the world, and Hashem wanted to give Torah to the 1,000th generation. Right? We know that from the pasuk in Tehillim. What's the pasuk? Left off. Latet.
There were 974 generations before.
Yeah, so exactly. So Hashem wanted to give Torah to the 1,000th generation. It would have been appropriate to give it to a 1,000th generation, but he saw that the world couldn't stand until the 1,000th generation, and instead gave it after the 26th generation, which was to Moshe. Count the generations from Adam to Moshe. You get 26 generations. Moshe was the 26th generation. So what happened to the other 974? The 974, we learn in Hagiga, those were the brazen ones who were spread out in each generation because the world couldn't stand if they were all in one generation. So Chazal say these are the generation of the flood, these are the generation of the Tzur HaHaflagah, from the Tower of Babel. They're the brazen ones who fought against Hashem. Right, and they are also what we now know as the Erev Rav. Right, the Erev Rav are the brazen ones. They also have the same description. One of the descriptions, maybe we'll get onto to that a little bit as well. Description of Erev Rav is that they are brazen faced. Azei panut, azei panim. By Nachman in his Likutei Moran describes what he calls Yudim Shedim. Yudim Shedim. We learned it with Rav Dor in Torah 26, maybe? Lina. Yudim Shedim. Jews who are demon Jews. It's the same idea. Right? And he also talks there about the Alafim. The Alafim there are probably the same Alafim, Alaf generations that we're talking about. He called the Aluf ones, the high ones, but it's the same. We're all talking about the same idea. And he said, and he, Nachman brings, and others bring, before Rav Nachman, about the Erev Rav, they're the brazen-faced ones, they're Ezruk Panim. What does it mean to be brazen-faced? Brazen-faced means that a person who doesn't accept rebuke, cannot accept rebuke, cannot accept that they've done anything wrong. It's not a trait of Am Yisrael. Trait of Am Yisrael is that you are, is a person accepts rebuke. Why? Because otherwise you can never do teshuvah. If you can never accept rebuke, you can never do teshuvah. I never did anything wrong. Even to myself, I can't admit to myself. If I can't admit to myself I didn't do anything wrong, because I'm brazen faced. I've never done anything wrong. I can never do tshuva. So I can't be Zera Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is people who make tshuva, right? Realize they do wrong. That's who we are. The Erev Rav can't admit that they ever did anything wrong. If you ever find a person who's Erev Rav and he admits he did something wrong, he doesn't mean it. It's just for show. So he knows that's what I have to do. Yeah, you're right, I was wrong. It's in one ear out the other. An Erev Rav person, as they pen it, right? As look pen it. So, here, the just found a source here. One source says that the Erev Rav that left with Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim were more than double the Jewish people. From Sha'arei HaPasukim. Okay.
Weren't they the sorcerers and magicians?
As well.
Not only.
Right. We know that the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, said that the Erev Rav are the usually the heads of the people. They're those who take power. Mm-hmm. Truth is, he brings here there are five different types of Erev Rav. Five different types. One of them.
Five different types
of Erev Rav.
Could you go over the five different types?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the page here where it lists the five different types. Green there. But they don't. They're not all. Some of them. They like power, right? Am Yisrael, true Jews shy away from power. Like if you've really got, right. You run away. You run away from Kavod, right? Kavod is the worst thing in the world. If you're a true Jew, Tov, there are still Jews who like Kavod. That's because they're far away. But a Jew who's close to Torah should be running away from Kavod. A Jew who's close to Torah and is still running after Kavod, very suspect. And that's very suspect. Because you can forgive a Jew who's going after Kavod because he's far away from Jew. He's not there. But someone who is mamash on the Kivod, and is still chasing after the shtuyot.
What is the difference between that and someone needs to do a job and you're giving them one that's qualified to do it? Like,
the truth is, the person knows himself, and the other truth is, if people thought about it, people know. You look around and you see people in positions that they're in, and you know if they're doing it for their own cover or not. Not always, but anyone.
Some people going through steps over bodies to get up top, above, the top.
Some are more obvious than others, and some are more clever than others. So the truth is, the Torah says
really,
that
they don't want to be around the Kedusha.
No, the Torah says they got spat out.
Yes.
They got puked out. According
to
the Jews,
it's not doing Torah, not doing
the Erev Rav are often the most pious Jews that you'll see. Right? Erev Rav are not necessarily secular Jews, also secular Jews, but even amongst the, they're the ones who are externally are doing everything. Why? Because they're doing it for show. It's not a struggle for them. They don't have the same struggle. They don't have the same difficulties that a Jew has in fighting to do the mitzvahs. Right? They don't have a true neshama. Right? There's a story of... it's not even a story. It's true. I knew a convert. Right? And he was mamash. He was the best Jew I knew. He wasn't yet... But he hadn't yet converted. I spoke to him, no, already? How many years? He's the frumest, right? In certainly of our circle. He said, the rabbi told me that right now, I've got it easy. As soon as I come out of that water, I'm going to be attacked by the Erev Rav. The Yetzirah is going to... Right now, I don't have a proper Yetzirah. I've got that, and it's calm. It's easy to get up and do everything I want to do.
That's right. I saw the girl after she was back. Let me tell you
right? Yetzer hara comes in as well as your holy neshama, right? So they don't have the same yetzer hara, which means that it's not yeah. And so what is the only reason?
A friend of mine, when he converted, he went the same thing. He was dominating great, and then he came out of the and the very first thought came to his mind is, oh, I don't have to do Misha right now. Just wait. Before he never waited, he just ran to go daven.
Exactly.
The first thing he realized is like, oh, I don't really want to go daven this morning.
Right. So, and the Erevab don't have that same struggle. So they can be, if they choose to be, the most fun people around. They can do all the mitzvot. They can be Baal Chesed. They can be head of all the organizations you want, doing stuff all the time. Because they haven't got the Yetzer Hara. And the only thing is this good for me? Is this useful for me? Is this going to make me, give me what I want? Usually respect, attention, power, control. Right? And if it does, you're free, let's do it. So Rav Nachman said that in Lukatim Ravli Neder, he said it, that in the end of days, the rabbis will have kefira dripping out of their pockets.
I'm sure we'll have.
Rabbis will have kefira, heresy, dripping out of their pockets. Right? The pockets is probably because it's from all for money or whatever. Right? But it's known that, and perhaps even some of the commentators are here, the majority, chas v'shalom, are those in positions of leadership amongst Am Yisrael, Erevav. Leadership in any sense, for sure leadership in the secular world, and leadership in the media where it's clearly obvious that you're just doing it for your own self. But even leadership, right? Which is why, come back to the question originally at the beginning, why people don't really talk about this, and why no one really, right? Because it's a very touchy subject. Ramash, a very touchy subject. Right? When the Erev Rav mixed with Am Yisrael, it's not the case that there's now a family of Erev Rav and a family of Jews. The Neshamot are mixed. Within a family, you have the case, one Jew, one Erev Rav. One Jew, one two Jews, five Erev Rav, one Jew, the rest are all Erev. Who knows, right?
There's a rabbi here who knew how to help women prepare themselves for the mikvah, so they would never get an Erev Rav baby. I don't know about that. I've heard of that.
Maybe. It may be. It's, look, the Rav Nachman, I can't remember the story. There's a source, I don't think it's in here, but there's two types of Erev Rav. Maybe it's in here. There's two types of Erev Rav. There's one type of Erev Rav that is legamrei, unrectifiable, Amalek, right? Amalek is also one of the five types of the Erev Rav. Can't find the thing. One of the five types is Amalek. You can't redeem Amalek or destroy completely, right? They're unredeemable.
They can be a Jew.
They're Amalek, yeah. The,
really?
The Jews who are from the root of Amalek, yeah. Erev Rav, who root of Amalek, they're Amalek. Amalek is not just like a one. It's
you
a.
Have the same list, but they kill them as they
need them. Yeah, you do, and if you knew who they were, you'd have to go and kill them. If you knew who they were, they're going to be eradicated completely, and they have no tikkun. There's another type of Erev Rav who can do teshuva, right? And that presumably is the nation that Moshe Rabbeinu took out of Mitzrayim, right? Because he saw, right? That they could do teshuva. So what the characteristics of the Erev Rav are that they're brazen faced. They're very brazen. And they lie and manipulate. They lie and manipulate. They're crooked. They love Lashon Hara, they love manipulating, they're very political. Very political. Right? Because their goal is to stir up dissension, right? To stir up hatred, lies. You never guess what I saw, right? Not everyone that says Lashon Hara is Erev Rav, but to know the difficulty, a person should be learning this and saying, wait a minute, maybe I'm Erev Rav. Sounds like me, your feet. That's for sure. So I read from Bli Neder, I think. I don't know if people follow the autistics. The autistics often also talk about it as wrath. And anyway, one thing that they were talking about, they were saying, anyone who questions themselves and thinks that maybe they're Erev Rav are for sure not. Because an Erev Rav would never question himself. He's beyond reproach. He would never question himself. So if you think maybe and you're worried that you are...
Could you live like that without being able to question yourself?
That's the whole point. If you question yourself, you begin Shuvah. It's part of the brazen faithfulness that everything by me is perfect. Everyone else has the problem. I am great. Him. It's a very...
How can someone live like that? I couldn't understand how...
So, we have a modern day phenomenon. Let's flip over into something that's modern day. As a modern day phenomenon called narcissism. You never come across this. It's a personality disorder called narcissism. It's quite common. If you Google narcissism, it's becoming more and more common. It only showed up 20 years ago. It's one of those modern day diseases no one had ever heard of. 20 years ago it was first identified, and now it's like rampant. Everyone is a narcissist. Right, what's the basis of a narcissist? Narcissism is really is basically an ego trip gone mad. Right? There's only me and no one else. I don't see anyone else. I don't think about anyone else. The essence of narcissists, they have no empathy. They can't empathize with you. They just, don't like it. It's your problem.
Your definition is a megalomaniac.
But megalomaniac is very extreme. And megalomaniac, you think of, I know crazy people that, right? Narcissism is rampant within our families.
If you go to JerusalemCast.com, click on Mr. Happy's pages, that pathway down, you'll get a good article on it.
Okay, yeah, fair. Narcissism is rampant in our families. It's a modern day version. Lina Eder, this is what I think is correct, of a very rap. It is people who are brazen faced and are only interested in themselves and have no empathy or sympathy for any other Jew. Right?
It makes sense. If this is a generation that has to have the Arab rub come into it, then we have certain diseases that would pop up that we never had before.
In why? In order to identify them. The truth is, right, the world is undergoing a process of B-roll. Right? These things have to come out. Just like Adam Rishon started it, by the end, good and bad are going to be obvious to everyone. And things, as we see now, the picture's starting to get clear. That's why Baal Eich Teshuvah are coming on the scene, because the truth of Hashem is starting to come out, right? It's all starting to polarize, right? Those who are extreme are getting more extreme, right? And the Erev Rav, it also needs to be separated. The Vilna Gaon said, quote here from the Vilna Gaon, I'll read you the quote from the Vilna Gaon. The main drive of the Erev, a lot of this won't make sense because it's all other concepts that we haven't even talked about, but Tov, the main drive of the Erev Rav is to unify Esav and Yishmael and to separate the two Moshiachs. All different, what all these things mean.
I'm sorry, separate.
The two Moshiachs. If we try and explain every single thing, you need an hour on each one. But we'll read it anyway, just to get the gist. Therefore, our main service and battle is to break and remove the strength of the Erev Rav, right, from Am Yisrael. The Erev Rav is our greatest enemy, says the Gra. Right? The one who separates the two Moshiachs. Why? I'll tell you why he's the greatest enemy. The Klipa of the Erev Rav works through deception and roundabout ways. Therefore, the war against the Erev Rav is the most difficult and bitterest one of all. Right? We must all strengthen ourselves for this war, and anyone who does not participate in the battle against the Erev Rav becomes de facto a partner with them and was better off not being born in the first place. From Kol HaTor, which is said in the name of the Gra.
So we've covered the first part, which is brazen face.
Deceitful.
They're
people who try and separate you from Hashem. But they do it in a clever way. Deceitfully and subtly.
It's all like the foundation of this.
A person who actually opens their eyes and wants to see, Hashem starts opening your eyes in amazing ways. To see amazing things. Unfortunately, things that you pass for shalom. You don't want to see, but you can start to genuinely see. Let me give you an example. I give shiurim At my home, every Shabbos we have a Likutei Moran Shir. Number of people there. One of the guys who came every Shir, he has something to say which would just deflate like a balloon. Everyone, like we're now in the middle of this, and everyone's like, right? You can feel the tension. You come in and burst it. Just burst it. Everything with like a little, like, yeah, but that's not. Yeah, but the Sansa Rebbe doesn't hold like that. And everyone was like, Gilu, he's made a nothing remark. It's subtle. You're never even going to pick it up. What did I say? Your Sansa Rebbe, everyone doesn't hold like that. But you just like, he just destroyed the whole shiur. In one word, in one sentence, everything's gone. Everything's gone. Or you're giving I gave a shiur off at Likutei Moran. I'm giving shiur on prayer, praying for Parnassa, Yofi, everything's good. Everyone's getting stronger, and we need to pray and ask Hashem for what we need and everything, and right. And then he'll chip in at some point. Yeah, but you still have to do your Hishtadlut. Come on, you still have to do Hishtadlut, right? And then the whole shit getting, you just lost the whole shit. Just lost everything. And you can't fault him on what he says, apparently. But you have to know that's Erev Rav. It's Klipa Erev Rav. It's Mamash Erev Rav. Find the bad point and destroy it. You're having a conversation with someone. I was in the car with someone. Same guy. We were coming back from somewhere, he was driving. Friends telling him of, we were in Oman, I was in Oman on a trip with Levad Dvarim, Rav Erish, Moshe Erez Dorotov. We were there, and there was a guy there, Mamash Misken. You call him Misken. He's like late 30s, 40 year old. He'd been in a car accident like 20 years ago, and he'd recovered. He'd been through rehab for 10 years, whatever, and he looked in pretty good shape, but he still slurred. He was quite heavy built. And Mamash, he wasn't the greatest shidduch prospect. Misken. He was confident he was going to get shidduch, he's coming to Rabbi Nachman, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it turns out this friend was telling us 3 weeks, 6 weeks after going to Oman, he met him on the street, he bumped into him in Jerusalem, and said, hey, how you doing, good? He gives him a hug, he says, I found my zivug. I don't know if they got married, but at that point he'd found his zivug and he was on cloud nine. Yofi, he's in the car telling this story, and I met him in the car, and he's telling this story. The guy turns to him and says, yeah, but you know what it is? When a person really wants something, and they're really motivated, then it just happens, doesn't it? If you really want something. So he came back really fired up from Oman. Nothing to do with God and rabbis and the bracha. If when you really want something, that's when things happen. That was his advice. You can't. So what does it mean? It means you can't fault it. And you're in the middle of a conversation and you don't know what happened. You're sitting there, you don't know what happened, and suddenly you're speaking to a friend, you're speaking to someone, you come away and you're thinking, why am I feeling so terrible? Why am I feeling like my life, I'm just dead? Because the person I've just spoken to has been, because you don't know it, you don't see it. It's happening. You're like, what is going on here? If you're looking... I kicked him out of my shiur. He's no longer in my shiur. I was in the car. I wasn't in my car. I was getting a lift back from him, and I don't get a lift from him anymore. I'm now staying away. Yofi, you're right.
I'm sorry to say this to you, but you're a man who likes to get hit.
No, I have to disagree because...
No, let me just tell you. Menachem is 100% right. You've got a finger on the button. Why am I a man that likes to get hit? I tell you why, and I read the same thing exactly yesterday.
Because I'll bring my gun next time.
I'll tell you why I'm a person who likes to get hit. And I read it yesterday exactly this. You know why? Because I come from a family of people who hit me.
Right.
And I'm used to it, and I think it's normal. Other people stay well clear of it, because they have no clue what's going on, because they sit and they're like, what is this guy's an idiot? But
you're
a person
right.
who's used to it,
I grew up
with it, And so, hey,
Tom, this guy's got
a few issues, got a few problems. That's what I'm used to. This is my life. Welcome, you're a friend. Give me a hug.
You're
a guy, right?
Clinic, and I'll take care of you.
And you're like, no, it's not happening.
Right, and only eventually Hashem opens your eyes, and now I'm starting to clean myself up.
Okay. I didn't take one. No, take a gun with you, you'll see the guy will shoot.
What do you do with a gun other than kick him out of your shirt? Is there any hope for a person like that?
There's two types, apparently. One that can be cured and one that can't be cured. Right? So for sure you don't know which one he is. And even the one that can be cured is very difficult, and it's only if he's got a real rat's on. If he has a real rat's on and he can be, then the one who can't be cured is never gonna have a rat's on because he's never gonna see any problem in himself. He's like one of those Rambam rules about you can't make teshuva from this. Why can't he make teshuva? You can make teshuva from anything. You can't make teshuva from this because by the time you do it repeatedly, you're just gonna not see it anymore. So practically speaking, you can't do it. You could, but practically, same thing here too. There's nothing, what's to make teshuva on? Everything's good, everything's fine. If you try and tell them that you're wrong, you've had it. This guy, personal story, this guy, I spoke to him. He was a friend, he was one of my chevra. I considered him a good friend until I realized what was going on. My mash realized I had to learn all through this era. I had to learn about narcissism. I had to learn the whole thing. What is going on? He's a good Jew. He keeps kosher, he keeps Shabbos. He learns Torah. He's a good Jew. How can he be off? It doesn't fit together. It doesn't make sense. I'm trying to piece it together. He's saying stuff and it sounds wrong, but he loves me. He's a great guy. He's the charming, most wonderful guy you're ever going to meet. What's going on? Until Hashem opened my eyes, it took a long time. Eventually I said to him, what's with you? What's going on? Where are you holding, really? What's going on in here? I see from outside you're great. You're a great person. You're very personable. Everyone loves you. You have Torah mitzvahs. Everything on the outside looks great. What's going on in here? Why all this stuff? And I started giving examples. Why did you say this? Why did you say that? I don't understand you. Tell me. We're friends. I spoke to him for an hour and a half. We went round and round in circles for an hour and a half. He couldn't accept anything. Everything was my, I understand what you're telling me. I understand where you're not understanding. This is your problem. Your problem is that you're seeing it from a Haredi point of view, whereas I'm coming from a Dati Lumi point of view. It's all different. Right? And if it was only that, for Hashem, it wouldn't be so bad. But you have to know the follow-up. What's the follow-up? If you cross them, oy vavoy. If you cross them, oy vavoy. I suffered. But Hashem, it was exactly what I needed, and exactly what Hashem needed to give me. And he tried to destroy me. Not much, tried to destroy me.
Can I put 2 cents in?
They're not real. They're living a lie. They're living a fake. So their whole lie is based on conning people, fooling people, to them believing that they're something that they're not. It's not genuine. It's all a show. So they're very good. They're perfect politically and lying and twisting. They're the greatest gossip mongers and Lashon Hara tellers in the world. But they don't do it brazenly. They do it very subtly. And if you read, that's why they'll bring a narcissist. If you read a secular narcissist website, it's exactly this. That they lie, cheat, steal, and lie about you and tell people on you, and people never know because they never realize what they're doing.
My sister was married to a narcissist. Didn't know until he already stole a bunch of stuff, and after the fact realized the guy had serious medical problems and she divorced him.
So what is it?
He was a pure narcissist.
So, and they find your weak point and they go after it.
Yeah, and the whole family, you go after everyone in the whole.
I can give you a very strong example. There's a yeshuv in the Shomron. The Rav Yeshuv is a well-known, famous Dati Lumi Rav.
Okay.
They put the...
No, I don't want to put any pieces together. That's for
I'm
sure.
Not going to give That's names sure. or tell which yeshuv it is. I was there for a while, and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu wanted me to become the Sfaradi Rav of the yeshuv.
Wanted you to be the Sfaradi Rav?
Yeah.
Right.
And this same guy once accused Rav Eliyahu of being a kofer. On what? Because Rav Eliyahu gave up Sach, you do not do Hallel and Kiddush on Yom Ha'atzmaut.
Okay.
And he gave all kinds of reasons why to prove.
He's right, you should do it.
through how he's right in saying this.
Okay, your feet. Look, these stuff, the more brazen stuff and the behavior with politicians and people who are in the media, and that doesn't concern us. That's not our battle. What is our battle? Our battle is our battle. Us, our families, our friends, what's going on, right? It's not our job to go around like a McCarthy witch hunt. And it's counterproductive, right?
Well,
but it is.
Then
you have to pray. And we have Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says he can tikkun anything and anyone. He can tikkun even a mamza. Rav Nachman.
An Erev Rav Neshama,
he can tikkun.
Yeah.
Right? But our job is to be aware of it.
Would that person have to go to Rabbi Nachman? Or can you do it through, like, say, the father?
I don't know. I think that it would certainly help if you could get the person there.
Yeah.
You'll know that there is this tikkun that
Thursday night
tikkun. And the Thursday night tikkun is for, one of the things it's for autism. Autism.
Right.
Autism is an extension of narcissism. It's living in your own world so completely that there's the tikkun of the neshama. It's not such a far step from that tikkun of that neshama to a tikkun of another problematic neshamas, which are not so different in some respects. So I think that is also a possible avenue. But our job is to know that this exists, and to we can't fight it, because you can't fight these people. But you can be aware of them and stay away from them. Why? Because firstly, you should learn from them, chas v'shalom. But secondly, you should know that 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour speaking with a person who's like this is going to take away. They have no life from themselves. They're not connected into the tree. So they need to take your neshama. They need to take your holiness. They live off your holiness,
right,
which is why they're the klipa around the tree, that there has to be around a holy person, because that's my life force. And I need to get it from somewhere.
Yeah.
But when they're taking for themselves, they're taking from you, which means that I'm depleted. I come out of that conversation like, I'm nothing, I'm useless, I'm in the world. Just like Lashon Hara, how does Lashon Hara work? Lashon Hara works by making me feel good by putting you down. You need both of them. To get something out of Lashon Hara, the person needs to feel better. He needs to put someone down in order to be lifted up. I'm better than him. Right? He needs to put me down in order for it to work. The relationship works by him making me feel bad without me knowing it. If I knew about it, it would be a 5-minute relationship, right? Who's going to hang around when someone comes over and says, you're an idiot, right? And so what do? Subtly, they put you down they take away without you even noticing, right? So you're telling them about your day. They put their arm around you and say, you're right. You're right. They agree with you that you messed up. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. They're being a good friend. They're sympathizing. They're doing whatever, apparently fine, to show that you're dead, because that's, and that they're perfect. They're name dropping. They're making it known that, you know what? This morning I was with the Belzer Rebbe. Often they lie. This morning, yesterday, right? To make them sound great. They're always the most intelligent people, the most smartest people, the best career. But in my job, they think I'm wonderful. The other people are a bit... anyone who talks about themselves as if they're the greatest thing and everyone else around them is nothing, why are they doing that? Because they're taking the cavil. They need that. I need people to recognize me, to focus on me, to give me that, right? But it takes it from me. It takes it from you. From the person they're taking from, who feels completely dead. Right? And that takes away our Avodat Hashem. Right?
One thing I can say is that it's extremely toxic to for any family to have a relative like that. I finally had to tell my wife, it's a toxic relationship. I mean, I've walked out of restaurants when I've seen this person.
Yeah, fair. You should run a mile. My gosh, if you can.
No, literally, I've had to do that. Not literally run, but more like jog. Yeah. I mean, it's been so toxic. And when I had to go back for LA for a wedding, for my son's wedding, it was like, besides the toxicity of LA itself, you had the toxicity of the narcissistic era problem, which just multiplied to a point where I could eat anywhere.
Nakhon, you're right. Look, it's very difficult, and everyone should pray on it. You should pray that Hashem gives us clarity. Right? Our job is also clarity. Just the B-roll process is recognizing the truth and not living a lie. Right? But the Gra said at the end there, anyone who doesn't get involved in the battle is part of the battle. If we accept the lie that everything's fine, really they're a good Jew, they're just struggling a bit right now, we're lying to ourselves. The truth is, they've been like this for 10, 15 years, 20 years. They're not going to change. They haven't changed and they're not going to change. They're not just having a bad day. They've been having a bad day for
30 years.
For 30 years that they've been having a bad day. This is not, you know, you have to call a spade a spade. This is the truth. And that truth, recognizing it, is part of our job. Ezrat Hashem, Hashem should speedily clarify the good from the bad in the world so that only good will remain. Only good will remain in time of Mashiach. This all has to be exposed so it can fall away.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And that's what it says in the end of days, that the Am Yisrael are going to fight against Mashiach. Who? Right? It's going to be, people talk about civil war. Right? And it mamash is a civil war. Right? Bezrat Hashem, it will still come a sweet way. But we should know that these things exist, these things are possible, and it should be prepared. And that person should not lose their faith, Chas v'Shalom, or not be worried, or not understanding. We should understand that the wisdom of...
There's Jewish people that have huge amounts of wealth. They're going against the Jewish people in many, many ways. Fighting against us, fighting against the religions, fighting against...
Our biggest battle, but they're also in order to bring us to...
Trying to re-educate us by funding millions of dollars in universities.
But Hashem looked into the world and saw this and made it this way, right? We need to have this in order to refine us to who we are, right? To who we really are, who a Jew really is, right? We need to know who we really are by knowing what we're not. We know we're not animals, we know we're not goyim, and the highest level is to know we're not Erev Rav. You can even look, act, walk, and talk like a Jew, but you're not really it. We have to know what it really is to be a Jew. And to really know, you've got to be able to differentiate yourself from what it's not. You can, putting a kippah on doesn't do it.
It's the difference between a goyim and a Jew. It's the difference between a Jew and a Arab.
Right, it's just another level of B-roll. Plant, mineral, animal, goy, Erevad, Jew, Kohanim, high priest, right? Everyone has to know where they are and B-roll. They're separated out to, everyone's got a job. It's not that a donkey is worse than a giraffe. They're two different things. Yeah, a donkey needs to know it's a donkey, and a giraffe needs to know it's a giraffe. And everyone's good. If a donkey goes around thinking it's a giraffe, the whole thing's a mess.
So to summarize, the 5 points of who and how to define an Erev Rav.
I didn't find the page, which means Hashem doesn't want me to show you the page. But in essence, things that I can tell you that I recall are those who are brazen-faced, those who lie habitually, who deceive habitually, who seek kavod from holy matters. Like people who seek kavod from secular matters is a doubt, because maybe they're just seeking, you know, their ta'anug, the ta'avar of kavod in this world. So often that happens to the best of us, right? But someone who seeks it from takes something holy and makes it impure, takes the holy Jewish and makes that the source of their ta'ava, the source of their badness, then you're taking something holy and making it impure. It's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. It's all simanim. A person needs to daven a lot that Hashem opens his mind. If there's someone that you're worried about and you're concerned about, a person needs to daven on it. Hashem, show me show me what's going on. And then you know what will happen? The next 2-3 times you meet him, meet this person, it's going to be, Hashem's going to say, Tov, you want to see, I'm going to open your eyes. And things are going to start to become more obvious. And it becomes very difficult. It can become very difficult. Some of these things I prefer not to know. I think it's much easier. You can lose your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your best friend. You can lose them by walking away from them. They're not going to walk away from you. They love you because you're the one who gives them attention, gives them showers with gifts, gives them kavod. They're not going anywhere. But you suddenly realize, I can't be near this person anymore. They're completely toxic. Right? So it can be the most difficult thing you have to do. So that's what it is. That's what it is.
Were you folks here when Rav David Stern was here and he talked about Erev Rav? So he gave some very good definitions, some very good examples, you remember?
The woman who refused to keep sneers.
Right.
The woman who refused to keep sneers.
In order to save her daughter's life. Ad kadikach.
What does she do?
No, extreme. Most people don't come across those situations. Sorry, and they're not so useful for us in terms of trying to work out
her daughter,
people.
There was a divorce couple. The father came to the Rav Stern once, and his daughter's dying of some terrible disease. And he was off to do something upstairs to save her life. And during the process of discussion, he discovered that they're divorced. So you have to bring the girl's mother and the girl. So he had the mother bring the ex-wife bring the girl. And he was escorting the Rabbani answer the door, not him. And I would have to try to convince this woman to dress in order that she could then get into the Sefer Rav. She's more undressed than dressed. Okay?
And she's praying before. She was.
And so I'm. So sit in the talk. And the Rav says, okay, I can arrange with the Shemaim to save your daughter's life, but there are three things you have to do. Okay? Kashrut, Shabbat, and Tahara Mishpacha. That means if you're not married, you can't let any man touch you. You have to get married again.
That's great if every man touches her. I'm joking.
Okay. And until you get married again, no man touches you. And when you're married, only your husband. And he says, the first two, already no problem. But the third one, forget it.
Wow.
To save your daughter's life, no way.
And
that's an Elavah.
But on the other hand, they are so sick themselves, they say, what's the right thing to do? I don't believe it. You know, they could also do that as well. Some people just don't believe that the Rabbanim have the power.
Well, she didn't question that. She questioned the reason that
she didn't want to do it. She knew that if it would fix her daughter, she refused.
So what happened at the end?
The daughter died.
Yeah, he said, get out, I can't help you anymore.